We are going to read from the New Testament in John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and place my finger into the mark, place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace we be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. We are starting a series this morning, actually a small series, very small. It will be done by the end of April. It's entitled, "Now What?" On what happened to the various disciples of Jesus after the resurrection. This week, Thomas. Now, Thomas hasn't got a very big part in the Bible account, but the part he does have is highly significant. We don't even know for sure his name. Thomas is simply the Aramaic form of Didymus, and they both mean exactly the same thing, with "is the quin." I didn't say they had to be identical twins. There is a tradition with absolutely no support from the Bible that he was one of the brothers of Jesus, called originally Jude, who wrote the book of Jude. Others claim he was actually the twin of Jesus. I find that personally impossible to believe for all sorts of reasons. What we do know is that he was named in several of the Gospels as one of the 12 apostles of Jesus. And it was undoubtedly Thomas who we are considering here, because he keeps on being referred to as Thomas, called the twin. Now, twins are relatively common now, but they were much rarer in the first century, because multiple births rarely survived. But we know Thomas had a brother or a sister still living, because why else was he called the twin? There's a tradition that Thomas went on to become an evangelist after the resurrection. And there is a strong tradition that Thomas made it to India and maybe even to China. Certainly some Indian Christians are convinced that they trace their faith back to a Middle Eastern believer who landed on the coast in 52 AD. They may be right. Who am I to say that they are wrong? But whatever the truth of the matter is, what turned an ordinary inhabitant of Israel into a believer in Jesus, who went on to play a part in introducing Jesus to the wider world? Before we look at that, there are only two other references to Thomas in the Gospel narrative, both in John's Gospel. It's worth us looking at those because they shed some light on the character of Thomas. The first occurs in John chapter 11 and verse 16. Jesus has just heard that Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, who had the famous row about housework, had suddenly been taken ill. Jesus wants to go back to Judea. He was currently staying beyond the Jordan. And the rest of the apostles try to put Jesus off this idea, because they say the authorities in Judea want to put you to death. In other words, it's a suicide mission, Jesus. Let him get better on his own. When Jesus tells the disciples Lazarus is in fact dead, that's why I want to go to him. Jesus uses a word for him that implies we're not going to view a corpse. We are going to someone who is sleeping. It's not exactly said in the Bible, but I think the disciples clearly thought Jesus had gone a little bit insane at this point. Then Thomas says in verse 16, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Do you see? Thomas, what at this point was convinced that Jesus was the most important thing that had ever happened to him. And he clearly wanted to follow Jesus wherever he went. The second occurs in John chapter chapter 14 and verse 5. Jesus is speaking of trust, that he will come back and lead the disciples to where he is. Thomas interrupts to say, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" In verse 6, Jesus says in answer to him, one of the great I am statements, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I have a question for you. Do you think Thomas believed Jesus at this point? We cannot know for sure, but I think the answer is that Thomas wasn't sure what he believed at that point. Thomas had been with Jesus as a disciple for maybe 3 years, or maybe if you believe the stories about Thomas and his identity, for more than that. Thomas was convinced, I believed, that Jesus was important, but he didn't quite believe that Jesus was God yet. Do you remember last week when Mandy was speaking about the Emmaus Road and Cleopas, who said in Luke chapter 24 and verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel"? I think the majority of the disciples thought that like that at the time. The people of Israel had it drummed into them from childhood that the Messiah was coming specifically to redeem Israel. In other words, free them from the hated Roman rule. Thomas was no different. He hadn't quite grasped that Jesus had come to do much more than that, to redeem the whole world, not just at the time, but for all history. So we know this about Thomas prior to the resurrection. He thought that Jesus was supremely important, but he wasn't ready to admit that he was God yet. And then we get to John chapter 20. The last confirmed sighting of Thomas was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when presumably he followed all the other disciples into the garden and fled out of the garden when Jesus was arrested. We know that Thomas wasn't at the trial, or as far as we know, at the crucifixion of Jesus. And we know from John chapter 20 and verse 24, he wasn't with the other disciples when the first news came through that Jesus had risen. We can't know for certain, but was it possible that Thomas' absences was in some way deliberate. The crucifixion of Jesus had an effect on all the disciples that isn't fully understood from the perspective of people living 2,000 years into the future. Imagine for a moment the person that you've spent the last 3 years following is arrested, tried, and executed, all in the space of less than 24 hours. I believe Thomas's world was very much shaken to its foundations by those events. And I would, for one, would want to withdraw and for a time and think, what next? Verse 25 shows the extent of Thomas's doubts. Consider this. All he had was his experience and the word of various witnesses to the resurrection. We now know that they were correct, but Thomas didn't know it then. He didn't have the New Testament to rely on because it hadn't been written yet. He fell back on physical proof. Maybe he was at the crucifixion, just keeping a low profile. Or maybe he heard stories of the nails and the spear from other people. It doesn't really matter, but he knew that only one person who had been crucified in the last few days would exhibit those particular wounds if they were to be raised to life again. You see, I think that Thomas, whatever his faults, was thinking logically. And in those 8 days that passed, he couldn't see any way past his reasoning. And you know what? That's all right. God doesn't demand that we believe night is day, or steam is cooler than ice. Faith demands one thing and one thing only, that we trust in God's infinite love and power above, and everything else falls into place for Thomas as well as us. You see, God doesn't seek to change us all in an instant. If he did, most of us would be lost irretrievably. He changes the world one person at a time, and at the right time, until his kingdom comes. And that day, on a Monday, if I've got my arithmetic right, God changed it for Thomas. There are three exchanges of the words contained in verses 26 to 29 of John chapter 20. The first exchange from Jesus to the disciples, and most particularly Thomas. Jesus starts by saying the traditional greeting, peace, shalom, is the reading that most people at that time would say when they came into the room. Jesus said it to put people at their ease, most likely, and to convince them that he wasn't a ghost. He was a real person who could talk. And he offered to Thomas the proof that he needs. We are not told if Thomas actually took Jesus up on his offer. Maybe he didn't need to. The physical proof was standing right in front of him, in the person of the risen Jesus. Jesus simply says, believe. In other words, Thomas, you have all the proof you actually need. I am standing here alive. Thomas, with your logical mind, what do you make of this? You either believe or not. Which is it to be? The second exchange takes place from Thomas to Jesus. And Thomas simply says five words, at least in the English translation. My Lord and my God. In saying this, Thomas understands, and nothing will remain the same ever again. And that's all that we need to say as well. Every Christian must say to Jesus, my Lord and my God. And then everything changes. The third exchange addresses all others, and it comes from Jesus. I don't think that Jesus is drawing comparisons here between Thomas and every other believer. Jesus is simply saying, whether you rely on physical proof or the proof of the Bible, the important thing is that you put your faith and trust in Jesus alone. After all, what other choice is there? I believe none at all. Amen.